Hello, I am really impressed. I wasn't sure we'd have many people here because an Austin Browncoats nonprofit panel is probably somewhat strange. So we'll start with introductions. I'm Beth Nelson. I'm the chairman of Austin Browncoats. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization in Austin. That one's on the nose.
Claudia? I'm Claudia Dronofsky. I'm the treasurer of Austin Browncoats.
And I'm Ryan Campbell. I'm the vice chairman.
And this is our moderator. Introduce yourself.
I'm Brad West of Outrageous Outfits. I'm just another geek associate and supporter.
So those are the introductions, really. We're going to go through a moderated panel. He's going to ask us questions. We're going to answer them. It's really, really simple. And then we're going to do a Q&A at the end. We have some really fun stuff to give away, including Joss Whedon It Is My Master Now t-shirts, because everybody needs those. Yeah, because he is your master. We also have some autographed goodies to give away. We have some, a comic signed by Ron Glass and Marina. And then we have another comic signed by Joss Whedon. Yeah, so Joss Whedon's probably the one that's really wanted. So that's going to go to the best questioner. Okay. Yeah, whoever gives me the best question, I'll say, you get the comic. And the person that gives me the question after that, if your question's better, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I suppose we should start from the beginning. First, we're going to ask, how exactly did the Austin Browncoats come to be?
That's an interesting question. I have a cheat sheet here because I've been sick for 3 weeks. Okay, basically, we're all fans of something. I like to say that we're all geeks. And a lot of people, when I say that, I'm not a geek, and I think, well, how many people here that love sports can tell me numerous statistics about sports? Well, you're a sports geek. Yeah, he's super sports geek, and people are sci-fi geeks, they're literary geeks. So I think almost everyone is a geek about something, and we're big geeks and or fans of Firefly. So what happened with the Austin Browncoats is we started off as fans that loved a television show that died really quickly. We got in the teens of episodes. It was sad, and it was canceled. We didn't even get to see all the episodes until the DVD came out in, I think, 2003. So that's how the Austin Browncoats started, as a fan group. We loved the TV show. We'd watch it when the DVDs came out. When the movie came out in 2005, an Alamo Drafthouse actually hosted a screening with to the actors that visited. Really awesome, because Austin's a great film, obviously a great film city. It really started to pick up speed. There were screenings of Firefly at Spider House Coffee Shop. And in 2007, in 2006, there was an event called Can't Stop the Serenity. People thought, oh, we should start this charity event to watch the movie Serenity to keep it alive, right, and give all this money to Equality Now, which is a charity that started based on Joss Whedon's mom's inspiration. She was a very inspirational woman, feminist. So in 2006, Austin hosted one of those screenings.
Hello.
Austin hosted one of those screenings and only donated like $500. And I actually think that was Alamo Drafthouse giving a donation on their own. So they were like, we made all this money off of these people loving this movie. I guess we should give a little bit of it away to charities. We don't feel bad. So in 2007, through the amazing social network of LiveJournal, who remembers LiveJournal? Who still has a LiveJournal? Wow. You in the back. Thumbs up. So through LiveJournal, people were like, Beth, you love Firefly. You should run an event in Austin. Austin loves movies. It's like, this is crazy. I don't know how to start this. And through peer pressure, which is amazing, better with sci-fi than drugs, we decided, sure, we're gonna host this event, but how do we do this and stay fiscally responsible? Oh, well, let's turn it into a nonprofit organization. Raise your hand if you've ever been on the board of a nonprofit. And we all looked at each other like, we're crazy, no? Okay, we'll figure it out. There's Google. So we Google it all, and we take care of that, and we host our event on Joss Whedon's birthday, June 23rd. Was anybody there, magically?
I was in San Antonio.
Yes, well, thank you. Yes, June 23rd, and we hosted at the Alamo right before the original Alamo closed and moved to the Ritz. So we sold out our event in days. And there were three screenings. We showed Serenity with a Feast. We showed Once More with Feeling, and then the finales of Buffy and Angel, because the Alamo Drafthouse was closing, and we felt that was really poignant, us and Henry, who's awesome at the Alamo. And we sold out in days and raised, I think, $6,000 for charity in an evening. And that was with having to give money to Alamo, you know, for their part of the process. At that time, we weren't savvy enough to negotiate them giving us the entire theater for free. Now we are. And so that's where that went. And then we're like, oh, we have all this money. I guess we really do need to Google about how to start a nonprofit. And we gave all that money away, though. And we found out, well, starting a nonprofit costs money, and we gave all our money away. Well, that's difficult. And so we found out we had to fill out a form 1023 and incorporate with the state and have a mission statement and a board of directors. And all of a sudden, we weren't a fan group anymore. We were this business. And we actually got this awesome brown coat musician to donate all the money we needed to start our organization. And we did this through social networking, through MySpace, another relic. Anyone still have a MySpace? Good. I'm so glad guy in the back didn't raise your hand. I would have been like, unless you're a musician. But yes, we actually started advertising on MySpace. Like, we need money so that we can raise money for other people. It's weird, and I know it's a strange dichotomy of information, but we need money to make money, basically. And he was like, here's $750. I think it was like $779. I guess the rest was a tip. I don't know. But he gave us $779 to start our charity. And that's how the Austin Brown Coats started, with a bunch of people who had no idea what they were doing, but figured that the internets would teach us. And so far, the internets has not let us down. That and, you know, social networking.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, outside of social networking, what other methods have you used for raising funds?
And feel free for the other people to talk. I bogart the mic, sorry. We use a lot of unconventional methods. Obviously, movie fundraisers, screening a movie that spawned off of a TV show that's died. I mean, that's fairly unconventional. Jane Hat Knit-a-thons.
Yeah,
who's a fan of the Jane Hat?
Jane Hat.
I think the Jane Hat deserves some applause. It's the Jane Hat.
In 2009, right, we went to Dragon Con, and I was like, hey, how about I start knitting hats throughout the whole convention and see how many I can make.
So it's like a walk-a-thon, and but with Jane Hats. It's
people,
crazy.
Yeah, people donated per hat, and I ended up making 12 hats, and we raised almost $2,000 in the 4 days at Dragon Con for Kids Need to Read by knitting hats. And I've been doing this for four times now. Last time I did it was here at Austin Comic Con, and it's probably going to be again here at Austin Comic Con, so
get ready. Bring out your money. I know you do not get a hat just for giving us money. That's the biggest question we get. Do I get a hat? Like, pay us $37. Sure. But we do pancake breakfasts. It's like old school church stuff. Like, she learned that from the Girl Scouts.
Yes.
Garage sales. We hosted this thing called Brown Coat Ball, which is this huge costumed event in Austin in 2008, where like over 100 people came from literally other countries, too. We had, like, Canadians. That's a big deal.
That's where we met.
That's a big deal for Austinites. We had Canadians.
That's where we met.
And one person from London. Whoa. Like, that's the whole ocean. Okay, that's not just, like, a drive. And we hosted this huge event, and it was a 3-day event with, like, martial arts classes and how to resin cast your own weapons. It was super smart. Even, like, do Tai Chi or learn Mahjong. Like, everyone wants to know these things. And belly dancing. And all these people came, and then we had this huge dance on Saturday at the culmination, this ball, a brown coat ball, based on an episode of Firefly, because, again, we are geeks. That's why I presume you're all here, because I would hope you like Firefly. Maybe we should say, does everybody know what Firefly is, or were you just looking for a place to sit? Okay. Does everybody know what a brown coat is? Okay, so Firefly, obviously amazing show, 2002, Joss Whedon created it, directed it, produced it, everything. A brown coat is a fan of a Firefly. So, like, but serious fan. We get really opinionated about you can be called a brown coat. Like, you guys are brown coats because you're here. Those guys that didn't come, not brown coats.
Nope.
So, yeah, we do a lot of really unconventional things to raise money. And I'm sure, you know, stop us outside of the hall if you have even more unconventional ideas. We'd love to use them.
Awesome. Now, obviously, this takes a lot of manpower, a lot of volunteers outside of just the social networks and the fans at your immediate disposal. How do you drum up the people to help you do all this? It's a lot of work to do. Where do you get the volunteers?
Okay, social networking. I can't stop at saying social networking. If you look at social networking as it's progressed, and we started in 2007, there is, let's say, 30%, or let's use a number like 30 here. There's 30 people using social networking. And you look at 2012, there's over 300 if you want to look at percentages. So social networking was something we used that a lot of businesses weren't using yet. Like charities, a lot of the charities we support now that were around longer than we were weren't using things like Yahoo and MySpace and LiveJournal to advertise. They were using more conventional methods because that's what everyone else did. And so why change the status quo? The status quo is easy. It doesn't necessarily get you the revenue you're looking for. So we use LiveJournal, MySpace, and word of mouth. Word of mouth has been a really big boon for us. We've had a lot of people look for us because other people have talked about us, or you know, the Austin Chronicle or Austin American Statesman or Fox News has done a piece on us. And they're like, what the hell, brown coats? I did a great article, I think, for the Austin American Statesman, where they're like, brown coats, that's a really weird name. Why would you call yourselves that? And I was like, well, there's two methods of thought here. The one is pick a really obvious name, like Coats for Charity or something. And, you know, whether it's Coats, it's charity. That's so simple. And the other is pick this really abstract name so that people look for you. And the people who know what that means know they've found a home. And the people who have no clue what it is are like, what? Brown coats? Like, the biggest thing we get is like, is that like brown shirts? We're like, we're not Nazis. You know, that's a huge point we like to make as often as possible. Like, not Nazis. That's it. But yeah, so social networking and
that's yeah. How I found you guys, the Yahoo group. They host a shindig one Sunday. And then from there it went.
I should say that they. I started the organization. They came in a year later. How did you find us?
I found you through the Yahoo group.
And sadly, the Yahoo group is now defunct. Nobody uses it. Isn't that so sad?
So yeah.
Any new things replacing Yahoo? Any new directions that you want to try? Veins you want to tap for? Direction?
We bow to the god of Facebook. We use Facebook so much it actually hurts me. Facebook is our new LiveJournal MySpace. We love Twitter. So at ATX Browncoats, because Austin Browncoats was too long. It's too long. Or just find us under Austin Browncoats at Facebook. Really simple. We love to tweet. We love to Facebook. We will blast up your page with hilarity. We do a lot of contests. We love to give away stuff, autograph stuff, merch. That's our favorite thing to do because we have so much support from the actors, the producers, the people who, even Fox. I know it's like to some people that's like a dirty word when it comes to Firefly. But Fox gives us lots of donations. So just in case they're listening, because you know they are, we love you, Fox. keep giving us stuff. But yeah, we love giving away stuff, so that's a good reason to be one of our, like, 1,100 likes on Facebook or something. What? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You should join. It's really awesome.
So how do you, what are your demographics like? What are the age groups and range of people that you're used to outside of Austin area or worldwide? Mm-hmm. Do you have a core kind of fan, or is it just really, really diverse?
It's actually pretty diverse. The typical is going to be a 25 to 40, somebody who likes sci-fi in general, but obviously has been exposed to Firefly. We get a lot of support from people who have just seen it once or have seen a couple episodes, and they come by our booth at a convention, and that's the spark. And then they pick up the DVD set or they pick up the movie, and then they're our supporter. So we've got, and it's, you know, coast to coast, age, race, doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think our core demographic is a 25 to 40-year-old professional with disposable income. That's what we like to say. If you've got money, we'll take it. But I think the cool thing about what we've done with our donor pool is that we aren't going for the Sally Struthers donations. We're not going for those people that are already donating. We're looking for people who are charitably inclined but maybe haven't found a charity that fits what they want to do. We've basically developed an entire donor pool of people that weren't really donating before, and now they are because they really like Firefly. And they think it's cool, and they want to buy stuff from us, and they want their, tax refund money to go to something that matters to them. but also support something that they really enjoy. So we created a new pool of donors by catering to their wants and needs. Whereas a lot of other organizations, I think, look for volunteers and donors that are already there. They're giving money, so we're going to take, you know, I'm going to take your money that you're giving to breast cancer awareness, and I'm going to put it towards AIDS research now. Well, that person, that donation is just floating around. Oftentimes, you're not creating new donations. You're taking away money that was donated 1 year and now giving it to your organization the next year. We want to take money that's not already in the donation pool. I think that's something that's actually really poignant. And if you step away from this with anything and you want to do something like this, it's don't look for the people that are already doing it. Find your market of people that aren't donating so that you're not only helping your causes, but you're not hurting other causes by taking away their money.
It seems to me, when you're talking about new donations, you seem to have a unique perspective, especially with your congruent two trains of thought. You're not just as a charitable organization, but also as a fan group, especially cult status creation. It seems to me sort of like Rocky Horror Picture Show. You get a lot of quote-unquote virgins, a lot of converties to the brown coat way. Do you see a lot of that? Is that really fun and exciting to get new people on board?
Actually, before I knew Claudia, she ran this event called Lone Star Shindig.
Why don't you talk about that? So we were on the original boards, and we decided, hey, we should do a get-together of all the Texas people. And so we came up with the Lone Star Shindig. We had T-shirts. We got goodie bags, and it was like 50 people. And we did a showing of an episode at the Spider House. It was like a three-day event. And I got involved, and then I kind of lost touch with those people again until I found the Yahoo group and have been with them ever since. So,
but the point there is, it's like, if you have Firefly, they will come.
Yeah.
We're constantly converting people. We find people on, you know, like I said, we have 1,100 likes. We have more likes than any other fan group or nonprofit in this genre. Because we're the most active organization, most likely. We're very active. We do a lot of events. Edit that part out so the other organizations don't get mad. Yeah, we do a lot of events, and we will find people literally daily who have said, I just watched Firefly, or my friend held me at gunpoint and made me watch Firefly, or I saw this weird hat and wanted to know what it was about, and used my phone and Google searched the picture and found out it was this guy named Jane, and it's crazy. I had a guy say that to me. Phones are crazy now. Technology's amazing. We're converting. We're finding people. I used to have, I've had over my course of life, five DVD sets of Firefly. I have one left, and it's only because it's autographed. I don't know where the others have gone. I think people sneak into my home and steal them in the night, but I have a feeling I've given them away as, here, watch this, and then they keep it.
Yeah.
I can't be
first
too mad
taste
about
is free.
It.
Yeah. I'm on my third DVD set. Thanks for the Blu-ray.
I got her the Blu-ray. Really worth it.
That's not, and it's not going anywhere, but the DVD sets, I loaned it to my pastor at church. Haven't seen it in 3 years.
It's gone. They take them, and hopefully it's like the gift that keeps on giving.
Right.
And it's really funny when you have people come in and they go like, I haven't seen Firefly, and then you go to your friend, you need to fix that. And sure enough, probably within a couple of days, they're going to show them Firefly or Netflix, which is fabulous. You just go, hey, it's on Netflix, go watch it. And
so
that's how people...
We think of it sort of like a disease, but a disease that you want.
So, yeah.
You were talking earlier about some of the celebrities that you get to sign the merchandise and donate stuff. How do you make these contacts? Do they come up to you? Do you have to hunt them down like mad rabid fans? Or
Prior to my now day job, and I'll get to that in a second, I guess, I would just Google stalk people and find them. I have a crazy Google foo. You give me the smallest bit of information and I will know exactly what you're talking about. And I will Google it and Google will tell me. I'll have images. I can make a web page about it. So I would Google people and figure out, I know I need to get to an agent or manager to get autographs. Okay, well, I used to send in letters. I mean, now you email. This is 2007. You didn't email as much. We have to remember these olden days. So I'd send in letters, and actually my first autograph set that I got, including a signed letter, was from Nathan Fillion. He sent me all these autograph pictures of him in that pose with the gun, looking really suave, and then signed a letter like, I love what you're doing. It's so amazing. You're raising money for charity. Nathan Fillion. And I was just like, it's like he gave me my own personal autograph, and I kissed it, and I slept with it for one night. And now it is somewhere, because I'm really bad about remembering these things. But now I work for a company called Quantum Mechanics. Does anybody know what has anyone ever heard of Quantum Mechanics or QMX? One person, we need to work on our marketing. QMXonline.com or Quantum Mechanics is this really fun online boutique of artisan products where we work with different licenses, specializing in sci-fi, but we've expanded, and we make either replicate things from the shows, movies, or produce like found art, like things we think would have been there. We have this Blue Sun Green Alcohol shirt. It's like that was never in, but we think it probably was. We made it. Now through that job, and just because we've been so established, 2007, it's 5 years. You know, it's much easier. We can just say, hey, like, we need autographs, or hey, come to our event. You know, we had Ron Glass a couple of years ago. We just flew him in because he had the time. It's hard to get people from L.A. to Austin, but it's easier to get them to Austin than it is to other cities that, like, aren't New York, because Austin's fun. Now it's just much easier.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, outside of the networking and the volunteers and, of course, the celebrities. That's the cool part. How do you pick the charities? Where does the money go outside of? And you were talking about Josh Whedon's mom and her organization. Mm-hmm. What are some of the organizations that you support, and how do you decide on which ones you want to go with?
So I'll talk a little bit about the decision process and then let them talk about which charities we pick so that they have something to say. So I discussed earlier about when you start a charity, you need to have a mission statement. That's the big part. You need to know what you're going to do. What's your prime directive, Star Trek? And ours is to end violence and discrimination through educational reform. So we want to educate people, reform the educational process so that we can end violence and discrimination. Really simple. Not a simple thing to do, a simple concept to understand. And we choose charities within that vein. So, like, talk about some of the charities we support.
Well, Equality Now is a given because of Joss Whedon. And then Kids Need to Read is Nathan Fillion's charity that we support, which is really cool because they donate books to schools, libraries, and hospitals. So with the schools, I think it's very important that the books are donated and not the money, because the school can allocate the money somewhere else and then the kids are without books again. So that's one of the big things we... Kids Need to Read, make sure that the kids get the books.
And another really important point is that a lot of children's literacy programs give books to the little kids.
Yeah.
The little kids aren't the only kids that are needing help with reading. There are lots of older kids, middle school and high school, that end up in this vacuum where their school doesn't have money for books, or they only have really old used books, and they feel somewhat undervalued. So that's something that Kids Need to Read does, that I believe they're the only literacy nonprofit that does this. They give books to the older kids, too, and they make sure that you're only giving new books. They don't want anyone to feel undervalued. They want this kid, you know, you're having reading problems, you're worth a brand new book.
And then one that's dear to our heart is Safe Place here in Austin, our women's shelter. That was just something that we really, really, that was really important to us to support the women's shelter here in Austin.
Through social networking, we found about Heart House Austin, which is now called The Beehive, which is really cute, nice name change. So another ping for social networking. They're a great after-school children's program.
Yep.
And a man's a pet.
Yeah.
We like animals.
Yeah.
And they're discriminated against too.
So.
Awesome. Other than just your own events that you host, like the Can't Stop the Serenity and the Shindigs, what kinds of conventions do you guys attend around the country? I know you do a lot of traveling.
Yeah,
Where else can you be found?
We attend about 10 to 20 conventions a year. Dallas Comic Con, Sci-Fi, Star Wars Fan Day, Sci-Fi Expo. Then there's the three big ones we do is Phoenix Comic Con, Dragon Con, and New York Comic Con. The little ones here in Texas are great because they don't cost us any money. We have people in Dallas that live up there. They let us stay with them, so there's no cost involved for the charity anymore. And the more money we raise, the better. So that's... And then, oh... Of course, Sherwood Forest Fair.
Yeah, any Rennies up in here? Renaissance Festival?
Come and see us.
We have a booth at Sherwood Forest Fair called the Wares of Whedon. And people stop by and they look at the sign and they kind of stumble like, what? Weed in what? And they get really confused. Yeah, and then they walk in. Oh, look at this.
Look at this.
This is, we call it Jane Mail. Or the Chain Jane. It's according to how gangster you want to make it. But this is literally like we expand markets. We're Rennie's now. We have a chainmail Jane hat that this master chain smith. Who knew those were still around? There are like three in the world apparently left, and he made this Jane hat. It's hilarious. But we don't do just conventions, but we do, like, we decided let's have a booth at a Renaissance Festival. Sherwood Forest Fair really wanted charity support. They really wanted to help charities. So we got in at the ground floor when it was still just a big forest, literally. There was nothing constructed. There were pictures nailed to trees that would one day never live again of what may be there. That's all that we saw. And we picked our booth and decorated it, and we sell Jane hats there because, you know, people knit back in the day.
Yep.
So we can get away with it. Yeah, they didn't necessarily have this color. But who knows? Maybe they did in the, you know, 1100s.
And at the conventions, we have a booth that's like 10 by 20. We sell T-shirts, comic books, lunch boxes, Jane hats, of course. We also paint Kaylee parasols.
And so the Kaylee Bear patch.
And the yeah. And we do have, like, messenger bags with the independent sign on it, which is merchandise that we came up with.
So a big part about this is that people say, how did you come up with this idea? Well, first we started going to this convention in Dallas called AllCon, which is this adorable little convention, a lot of fun. And I think we sold T-shirts and tickets to the Brown Coat Ball that I mentioned in 2008. And then our friend who hosted that panel on resin weapons, see, it's coming full circle. I can see some of the connections. Was like, hey, why don't you resell my weapons at events? We're like, sure. So then we decided, let's go to an anime event. He has all these weapons. Anime kids love guns. I don't know. We thought maybe we made this connection, though, in our minds. We go to Akon, which has like 17,000 people, brought T-shirts and guns. We're like, no one's going to find us. We have this fan table in the middle of nowhere, not in the dealer's room, and sold out of everything and made all this money, made thousands of dollars. We're like, whoa, this works. T-shirts and guns. What else can we do? And we're like, well, we made all these things, or you know, we're reselling. Well, let's see if other people allow reselling. I mean, how many people know a lot about wholesaling unless they wholesale a lot? So we're like, let's contact T-shirt companies.
Yeah.
And these people that make these lanyards. And now we have a product list of like 400 products that we sell.
And we kind of broaden our horizon, not to stick just to Firefly and Serenista. We have some Doctor Who shirts. We have some Big Bang Theory stuff.
Bazinga.
And the cool thing is, going to like an anime convention, we're the only sci-fi people there. So we take money from the kids because all the anime people competing against each other, we have no competition. And anime kids love sci-fi. So
yes,
they come up
this.
And they're like, brown coats, yeah.
I think
and
Full it's Metal just, Alchemist.
Yeah. And so that's how we kind of, it just grown that way, to go to different genre conventions.
Yeah, we even, oh, hello, baby. That's my baby. Apparently, she really does not want to be here. She doesn't like Firefly. We started a line of teas. Weird, right? Loose leaf teas, really high quality stuff. They're called Serenities. I even have a line of brutalities for Metalocalypse because it's hilarious. When we're at Renaissance, we call those pirate tees because they're like brutality. That's awkward. Because one's name like Blood Orange Puke. It's, if you watch Metalocalypse, you know what that meant. Oh, sorry, baby. We started a tea line, and we've sold thousands and thousands of teas randomly. Who knew? But we thought, oh, Inara drinks tea in Firefly. What if we... And with this girlfriend of mine, I was like, you should make a tea line. And it's expanded into having like 80 teas now.
Yeah, Dr. Horrible.
Hey, actually,
Sing Along Blog Teas.
Equality Now and I are working together to make Equalities. They wanted me to make a different tea for each of their offices. They have an office in South Africa, London, and New York. And they were like, oh, and this is their big anniversary year. And so we thought, oh, let's, you know, make some Equalities. So check out AustinBrownCoats.org or WeedAndWares.com or Serena-Teas.com. We have so many websites, but they're all at AustinBrownCoats.org because we have teas, yeah.
Awesome. Well, outside of your fundraising for the groups that you mentioned earlier, the ones that you donate to, are there any groups that you do on your own, any independent kind of things like close to your heart or
yeah, one of our biggest things that we've started, we started this, we gave our first one away last year. It's coming up again really soon. The deadline is actually the end of this month, is our Austin Brown Coates Community Scholarship. We give out a scholarship to, last year, originally the idea was for one, but we actually gave away to two because we found two kids that we just couldn't decide between. So we gave scholarship money to both of them. And it's kids that are in the AISD schools that have been accepted to college. And then we do it based on need, academics, and community service. I think last year our two recipients totaled over 300 hours of community service between the two of them. So that was a really important factor. The other thing that we've started doing is we're actually going to start sponsoring some youth league sports to get the kids, obviously, you know, if kids are involved in after-school programs, it's been shown that, you know.
Keep them off the streets.
Yes, yep. Exactly. And the other thing we are, we're currently working with Safe Place, our local shelter, to sponsor one of their therapy rooms. It's a family therapy room, and you can sponsor it and provide all of the furniture and all that stuff in that room, and it would be the Austin Brown Coates Therapy Room. And so that's another thing that's very close to, and important to us that we're working to help out with. Hi, Ellie.
Sorry. My baby's just so cute. But yes, so it's actually a really poignant part. Safe Place does so much. The state actually sold them the land that their entire complex is on for, I think, $1. They do so much. They have some, you know, a decent amount of funding, but it's the simple things people forget. Like, they have a therapy room. Where does that furniture come from? They don't want to have to spend their hard-raised money to buy some couches because they want to put it into helping these people and getting these people what they need to ensure that they're not only safe but ready to potentially start a new life. And some people are coming from really dire straits. So they have therapy rooms. And some of them don't have, you know, nice new furniture or as welcoming furniture, as comfortable. You know, you want these people to be as comfortable as possible. Some of them have gone through some really bad trauma. So we're working with them to furnish a really nice room for them that's going to be really comfortable so that people, when they need, you know, their time to decompress, they have this awesome, sponsored by Austin Brown Coates room. And maybe that'll help other people look us up and help us support Safe Place even more. So it's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving. But for us, it was really important because Safe Place, at the heart of what we do, is, you know, it's the epitome. Safe Place and Equality Now, those two charities can't really exist without one another. Equality Now works on these really broad themes, changing the politics, helping women, but in a much broader way. And Safe Place is on the ground floor. They're doing the grassroots. They're helping these, you know, while we're waiting for politics to change, Safe Place is helping the people that are in need right now. Wow.
Awesome. So you seem to have, like, a lot going on and have been doing this for a while, and you've got a pretty good amount of steam. How do you maintain that level of commitment? I mean, how do you keep the ties to the community? How do you stay relevant? How do you stay close with the people?
We used to do this thing called First Sunday. We stopped over this last year, mainly because of my pregnancy. It's all my fault. I'm sorry, people. We'd get together the first Sunday of every month, or some Sunday if we had to reschedule, because we do a lot of conventions, and watch an episode of Firefly in sequence, you know. And then when we were done with it, we'd watch Serenity. And then we'd start all over again.
Yep.
Yeah, seriously, it's awesome. I mean, just like on loop, it's like you're in this crazy, crazy black hole, and it's constant loop. But we just keep on watching the show, and we're going to start doing that again. We used to get together and karaoke, get together and do Brown Coats Dining Out, where we try a new restaurant once a month. We even had an Iron Brown Coat. Seriously, there was a bacon Iron Brown Coat, specifically bacon desserts. He's like our reigning champion of Iron Brown Coat.
Yes, I am.
But we did a bacon dessert Iron Brown Coat. We had like bacon brownies. We had sugar-coated like candied bacon. He made a bacon pecan pie.
Bacon
crazy.
Pecan pie, and it was
delicious.
It was
good. You know, bacon, like, who knew? I mean, I love bacon, but... we like to do things to stay in touch with the community. A big thing is social networking. Again, I'll preach that to the end of my days. We used to do this trivia thing. We stopped for a couple months where we'd ask a trivia question every day, and the winner would, you know, obviously be the winner. And then once you got 5 wins, you can go into the grand prize, you know, like grand finale of trivia. And we're going to host that at our Cancel Serenity event this year. And you can win like huge prizes, crazy stuff, like hundreds and hundreds of dollars of stuff, because we like to give away stuff. And so we do that to keep interest up. That's a big thing I'll say, is keep interest up on your social networking. If you have social networking sites and you're just posting like, meet us here, and that's it, and people don't care. They don't want to just see constant reminders of where they cannot go. A lot of people can't go to those places. Post things that make them interact. Post questions. You know, like today, I'm probably going to post something which is, what's your favorite television villain? Mine's Scorpius from Farscape, because he was crazy. Any Farscape fans up in here? Yeah, what the frill? Yeah, Farscape's awesome. So that's my favorite, and I want to know what everyone else's favorite villain is, so I'm going to post that today. So yeah, get on Facebook, Austin Browncoats, and tell me what your favorite villain is. But that's a big thing, a big reason why I started all of this. Because I liked it, and I wanted to meet other people that liked it, and I wanted to make more stuff about it because I liked it, if you're noticing a running theme. And that's where it all started.
Excellent, excellent. We're going to close up here with just an all-purpose, let us know, what did you learn from your experience? What is it you've taken away from this? What is the most memorable thing or most rewarding thing about running a nonprofit and doing community type?
Well, probably I'll give our answers to that. I think mine and the most important thing I found in running a nonprofit organization, especially one that I'd call almost like a middleman nonprofit, one that helps other nonprofits, is that charities are always needing two things: funding and volunteer force. There's always going to be that deficit. You're going to have the people that are passionate about the cause. That's actually the easy thing. We don't want kids to be abused. How many people are going to say, not raise their hand, to that kind of cause? Everyone's going to say, we don't want it. But how many people are going to go out of pocket and actually give money? And how many people are going to take time out of their really busy day to help you get people to go out of pocket? And those are the two most important things we found. So we were actually able to develop a niche charity. We became, like I said, a middleman charity, a charity that creates the volunteer force to get the fundraising required for other charities. We've given, I think, well over $150,000 away to charity. Last year, we gave over $40,000 away. We actually have a program where we give $500 a month to a charity, just because every little bit helps. Some charities are small that we give to. Like we're giving to Kids Need to Read when they were just starting. And they, in turn, give books back to Austin. That's another cool thing about Kids Need to Read. They don't take Austin's money and give it to California. They don't give it to San Francisco. They take Austin's money and give it back to Austin. That was really important to us. Obviously, Equality Now takes their money and makes the world a better place for everyone. So, that's where that money goes. But that was really important to us. I think for me, that's what I've learned. If you want to turn your fan group into a nonprofit, and we're not the only ones, Browncoats aren't the only ones that have done this. Obviously 501st is a really big example of a huge group of people who have given away, over $1 million, I think, to charity. Obviously Star Wars, Firefly, you look at the difference, our $150,000 looks pretty good. there are lots of fan groups, like Harry Potter gives a lot of money away to charity. Whoa, I love Harry Potter. The Trekkies, or Trekkers, according to who you talk to, that's actually a big debate, have done charitable stuff too. But the cool thing about this is that Harry Potter had 1 billion books and 1 billion movies, and Star Wars obviously had a ridiculous amount of media. Lots of books, lots of movies, everything. People that cosplay all over the place. Harry Potter, I already said that one, so I'll go to Star Trek. Billions of episodes, so many movies. Oh my God, I hated Enterprise. But Firefly had a few episodes that weren't even aired in the correct order. And then a movie that was made 3 years later that relatively didn't do that well in the box office in the scheme of things when you look at big, summer blockbusters. But for such a small franchise, did really well. And you look at what this fan group has done. We had very little to work with. Which brings me to a sad point, which is I wonder if Firefly had like 7 seasons, if we'd have this. Because it was such a great show, but a lot of it stemmed from a want of more. And since we weren't getting more, we started creating it ourselves. So in some ways, I'm actually really happy that it was canceled. Don't tell people that. They'll be mad. because I'm so glad about the community that we created from this small, short-lived, canceled show with relative unknown actors.
Yeah, I agree. So, and I think the community, just the brown coat community, is how big it is and how willing they are to help and to give. That's what I learned over the years, that there is people that really care and they want to help and help us to help the charities. And I think that's really awesome. So,
I think the one of the biggest things that I've learned is that there's no skill set that can't be used to do good. There's nobody that doesn't have some skill that can be put to good use. You know, you don't have, I'm not a salesman. I couldn't sell ice in hell. You know, I couldn't sell a heater to an Eskimo. But there are things that I can do. And if there's anybody will have a skill that we can put to good use. So if you want to help, if you want to do good, you can. There is a way for you to help.
It's actually a really good point. I started out Austin Brown Coats with a graphic designer, a web designer, and me. And I was the utility player. And I had to fill in the rest of that. Because the graphic designer was like, I'm just doing graphics. And the web designer was like, I just do web stuff. I work for IBM. You know, and so I had to do the sales and the marketing and the research. I had to be my own assistant. Because running a nonprofit, even if it's just out of a fan group, to give you perspective, like I have a full-time job besides doing this. And this is another full-time job. It's time-consuming. Some groups make it look easy. Some fan groups make it look really easy. But it's not an easy process at all. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of passion and a lot of people to help you, because you'll get burned out. You know, doing this, we travel a lot. We leave our families a lot. You know, I have a kid now. Before I didn't. She has two kids. She leaves them a lot to go out. And we remind ourselves we're doing it because there's a need. There are women who are abused. There are children who are, you know, 19 and don't know how to read in America. You know, I think the statistics in the U.S. was a few years ago, 17,000 women were sex trafficked in America, into America. There's sex trafficking here. We talk about all these other countries, and we talk about there. This is happening there. It's happening in your backyard. In Texas, 3 out of 4 people it'll affect 3 out of 4 people, domestic violence. So if you look in this room, how many people in this room? We're a tiny panel, so not a lot. But if you look at this, a decent amount of people in here are affected in some way, shape, or form by domestic violence. These are things that are right here in front of us. These aren't really, you know, huge. They're not just global concepts. These are things that are happening in our own backyard. Like, to me, the thing that really motivates me is sex trafficking. You think 17,000 people in America. That's not talking about everywhere else. That's a really scary number. Yeah, that's a huge number for you know, a country like us. I mean, we have a lot of people, but we also are supposed to be this, you know, arm of democracy, and we're policing other nations and helping other nations. But, you know, what about our nation? It's happening right here. So that's, you know, a big thing for us, to just keep the passion alive. When, you know, you get really down on yourself and you're thinking, man, this is hard, think, like, what happens if they don't have my $150,000? Because that amount of money actually makes a difference. It really does.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I mean, all wonderful information, especially if anybody's motivated to give to their community or wants to get involved. They can contact you where?
So we, austinbrowncoats.com or .org. We bought it all.
Yeah.
You can find us at ATX Brown Coats, again, because Austin Brown Coats was too long. We want you to be able to actually talk to us. I think Twitter was like, no, you can't have Austin Brown Coats. So ATX Brown Coats at Facebook, we're just Austin Brown Coats. Really easy to remember. I'm sure we're other places too. But the big, if you want to purchase stuff, we have so much Brown Coat stuff. We have the Jane hats, t-shirts up the wazoo. You can find the link to our store at austinbrowncoats.com, but we have our own store, which is Whedon Wares. Clever. Obviously, you know, Wares, like W-A-R-E-S. It's not like Whedon Wares stuff, but Whedon Wares, .com.
Yeah. Awesome. So just throw a dart at Google and you're able to trip on.
If you put in Austin Brown Coats and you don't find us, you're blind, or your Google is stupid. Hey, Google's very stupid. It's really easy to find us. So do we want to do some Q&A? We have prizes to give. Oh my gosh, you're so excited. And you just can't hide it. Okay, well, let's go. I don't know. This might be a good one, though.
You're going to have to step up to the microphone.
Oh, we can. I think they're going to bring
They're going to bring one over.
Oh, they have one.
I'm picking them, though, because he doesn't want to be the bad guy, you know.
Awesome.
Okay.
Hi. First, I want to thank you guys because I am just totally stoked about being here. And I went to the San Antonio one. I want to the Can't Stop the Serenity.
Yeah, we hosted
because
that.
I couldn't. Yeah. And I won the Kaylee sketch, so I'm totally, totally happy.
Cool.
My question is about, you guys mentioned the 400, you know, different kind of product lines, which is kind of mind blowing to me. You know, usually people are like, I have 5 T-shirts or something. So I was wondering, you know, Joss being really cool and Nathan being really cool, but I was wondering if there's any sort of limitations or lines or things you can or cannot do, you know, being a commercial product owned by a studio, that kind of stuff. Because, you know, like I was last time, I thought, what about Fruity Odie bars? Can't you just like sell Fruity Odie bars?
That's a really great point, actually.
You know?
Something we didn't get into and something I work with a lot in my day job, licensing.
Right.
So I don't know if people know about this. Actually, a local Brown Coat group in Texas got in trouble because they were airing episodes of Firefly at a theater. Fox and SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, do not allow Firefly or other Fox properties to be played in public venues like a theater, especially for money. You're not allowed to do that unless you get okay from Fox, who has to basically get the okay from the Screen Actors Guild, and then money has to exchange hands. It's very complicated. They got in trouble for that. That's a really important point. There are limitations. You know, we get approval to sell some things that we don't have technically licensed, or if it's an adaptation, something that's enough off the cuff that's not, you know, an exact replica, we've been okay with that. But most of what we sell is licensed products, because that's the easiest way to ensure that you're not going to get a C&D or a cease and desist from a studio. A lot of Firefly groups have actually been closed down. Their stores have been closed down because they're selling non-licensed products. Big no-no. Steer clear from that. Any Doctor Who fans in here, don't anger BBC. You know, don't anger these organizations.
That would be something pretty scary. So I was wondering, do you guys like work with a lawyer or something to clarify these things? You know, like what is fair use, for example, right? Because if I teach Mandarin on YouTube. I have a little channel going on because I love my language. But you know, all the Mandarins in Firefly. So I was like, well, I want to teach all the Mandarins properly in Firefly because they're very mangled in it. So I was like, you know, what if I do something like that? And you know, I don't want to make money. I want to make money for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
But can I do that? You know, how do I find out?
So the important thing is imagery is a big thing in licensing. If you're representing, like, let's say you're going to put the Fruity Odie girls on a T-shirt and then put Mandarin curse words. You're going to get in trouble then. Well, that's already been done. Yeah. Speaking Chinese,
she's wearing that shirt, actually.
It teaches you, holy elephant dung Tuesday. I don't know. It's crazy stuff. But it teaches you how to say crazy stuff in Chinese. If you did that, that's infringement. You'd get shut down. If you're just putting out information about how to say these phrases in Mandarin, go for it. Get with us. We'd love to make a poster, an instructional poster, on how to properly curse in Mandarin. I think that's hilarious. I want to, like...
I'm not cursing, and I love Mandarin.
Yeah, I know. And we're a literacy program, a literacy charity, and I think that's important to properly know how to curse in Mandarin. That's part of being literate. You need to be literate in Mandarin. It makes sense. So we'll work on it.
No, okay. The biggest core, like your core question answer though, is ask, because we do that for a lot of the stuff that we have that we do. We've asked the studios, asked studio heads if we're allowed to, and that's the end of the road.
And yes, do you have a lawyer advocate?
Yeah.
yes, sure, straight girl.
Okay. So I have sort of like two parts to this, and one of them is a question and one of them is not. But the first one is, so you talked a lot about creating, sort of bringing money out of an audience that would not normally donate. When you approach charities, did you sort of bring that up? And is there, how can charities themselves like reach out to groups like you and find those audiences in other places? Like I am sort of like tied to a nonprofit. I don't necessarily work with a nonprofit, but we are also sort of a fan group. It's the WordPress Foundation, so our community is sort of our fan group, and I think it's really important to like find those other audiences
We have discussed that with other charities. Safe Place is really familiar with the fact that we're doing really unconventional programs, really unconventional ways of raising money for them. In terms of like really going and doing any sort of like classes or teaching them what we do. We've never really done that. I think it'd probably be something smart to do. How we did it, I mean, obviously this was such a niche. We were fans and then we wanted to be charitable and we found an avenue in which to do that. I think every charity has that opportunity. For instance, there are people that dress up as superheroes and make money for really awesome charities because superheroes do that. That's what they do. Superheroes are awesome. Who would have thought that? Like superheroes and then making money for different charities and costuming as superheroes, but you can always make connections because that's the way the world works. People aren't going to question your connections as long as you're doing good work.
And the second part is more of an offer. I had actually emailed with you a while ago because you guys requested like somebody help with your website, and I try to do sort of like one volunteer nonprofit project a year.
Awesome.
Usually like building and designing because I'm a designer and a front-end developer, mainly using WordPress. So if you guys needed anything.
Oh, yeah, we'll...
I have your email somewhere
help.
In my
yes.
history.
We will take all your
I don't
hours.
Live in Austin, is the thing
You don't
that
have to be in Austin to be an Austin Brown Coat. That's what we say. We have members from all over the world.
Awesome. Okay.
Right there, back there. Other striped girl.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Nikki. I'm from Austin, too, and I have a really small organization here that works with nonprofits.
Very cool.
We're called I Love Rescue Animals, and we work with Mancipet, too, and AAC and stuff like that. My question is, you kind of touched on this, but... When you were first starting out, like how did you strategize your marketing and how did you like get your name out there? And I understand social networking, big.
Yeah.
But when you approached places like the Animal Draft House and you wanted to work with them, how did you get to that point where you had the credentials that they didn't like slam the door in your face? Like how did they already know that they could trust you and like
So the most important thing for you to have within your wheelhouse of, you know, your bag of tricks is a wordsmith. What I mean by that is someone who's able to take something that doesn't seem so great in text and make it seem better than it is. That's what I did. I'm a wordsmith. I was able to make our organization seem much more credible. We had never run an event before. But I also had, within my bag of tricks as well, something they wanted. I had a direct connection with a fandom that they had already, you know, had a relationship with. I found a theater who was quirky. They were quirky. And we were a quirky group. It was a good fit. Now, would I go to, like, a Regal and offer my event and say, hey, I want to host my event? No, I'm not going to go to Regal. I actually contacted Regal because I wanted to find the best theater for us. And Regal was like, give us $10,000. And I was just like, Regal, you just don't get it. But actually, Galaxy Highland, if anyone even knows that theater by Highland Mall, they offered to host our event and give us all the money for charity as well. So pimp them, DLP screens, love it, looks great. But yeah, find groups that you can work with that understand your market. With marketing, we literally just went out and contacted every major marketing place, so radio stations, television stations, newspapers, and then we posted on every Yahoo group, every MySpace, yeah. every Facebook page, everything that was relevant to us. All the way in the
Thank
back.
You.
Those two in the back. Well, those two. You can decide who you give what to.
No. Thanks for the talk. Real quick question on the nonprofit side. You mentioned you have a full-time job. So is your board a fully volunteer board, or do you also do you give yourself some kind of stipend or salary?
We have one person on staff that gets compensation, and that's because the majority of the charity takes place within their house. And really, that's the only time that compensation is ever given is when the charity work, it all interferes with daytime work. You know, if I have to do charity work all week long and I'm having trouble really, like I'm staying up late at night to take care of my daytime work, you know, then I think, oh, well, this has been a more stressful month. But for the most part, we're a volunteer force of over 100 people. We have literally over 100 volunteers of different people that help us all over the place. We have volunteers in numerous states and we have volunteers in other countries as well.
Thank you.
Hello,
hi.
Live Journal guy.
So this is a really helpful talk because I'm also, as might be apparent, a big fan of a lot of science fiction. And I also have actually a bunch of people that I'm interested in turning basically towards more charity events. And so I have a question actually because the one thing that you haven't really talked about that I'm curious about and that I've had some trouble with is how do you balance sort of the fan appeal of the media itself with sort of the charitable work, and in particular dealing with people who might be really excited about the fan aspect, but how do you bring them into the charitable side of it?
That's a really great question. What we've done, we've developed different events or created booths for conventions at places where the fans live. Go to where they are. Go to the fans. They want to give, and they have money to spend. Like we said, our demographic is 25 to 40. They're professionals. They have disposable income. That's our demo. That's how we get the money we do. $37 is a lot for a hat, but totally worth it. 2 hours of knitting time. Finding people that have, we sell hundreds of these hats. So what we did was create events that they wanted to go to, or go to places where they already were, and then turn it into a charitable project. So for instance, Can't Stop the Serenity, we're showing a movie, and we have costume contests, and the Alamo Drafthouse, they make custom Serenity food, like Kaylee Shortcake and Big Damn Hero sandwich. Get it? It's hilarious. And Mutter's Milk for those people that are serious fans. Yeah, for real. So they make these foods. So these people are there. They're buying a ticket to a movie. They're not necessarily being charitable. They want to see that movie. Give them something in exchange for their donation. We get a lot of free autographed items. I have literally thousands of autographed things from actors, from directors, producers, everybody. I give them autographed things, and in turn, they give me a donation. I'm not asking them to blindly donate. That's something that I found was really helpful to us. Give them something for their money, so one, they feel really good, and they get to take something home. Is that the way that everybody needs to do it? Not necessarily, but that's a way for us to develop an entirely new donors pool so that we're not taking from other people. And I find that really important, especially when you're doing a fan niche kind of organization. Fans want fan stuff. They fan out. They geek out on this stuff. We give out autographed comics in exchange for money. And, it sounds like worse than it meant, not like prostituting. But we auction off items, and they give us money in return for the auction. And that's been the way that we've done it. Conventions has been a really big help.
Yeah.
Just to be, to be frank, at something like a Dragon Con event, we raise $20,000 for charity just selling stuff at Dragon Con. That's a lot of money. That takes us, 4 days where we're, hanging out in costumes. I got to hang out with Dave Prowse, who's Darth Vader, Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca. Mm-hmm. I just accidentally stalked Dave Prowse, actually. That's a really funny story. I was sitting talking to him on the phone in front of a room, a hotel room. This is totally, sorry, but it's a good one. And I was there in my pajamas on the phone. And, because my partner at the time was at home, and I was sad, talking on the phone. And then Dave Prowse comes out of his room, and I didn't realize the suites at this Marriott were at the corners. Usually suites, I think they're at the top or something, but this Marriott, all the suites are corners. And the corner was the only place I had reception, so I was literally up at his door. He opened it, almost tripped on me. And he was like, "What are you doing here?" Because he has this really weird voice. That's why they use James Earl Jones. Dave Prowse is a really weird... it's just strange. And I was like, "I'm talking on the phone." And he was like, is it still crowded? Are there many people left?" And I was like, "Not really. It's people have left." He's like, "I'm going to go get me a drink." And walked away. And I was like, "I have stalked Dave Prowse." Yeah, for real. He went to the bar after that. I also met Peter Mayhew in the bar. So apparently Star Wars actors, boozy. Because that's where I've met all of them. Gigi Edley from Farscape bought me a drink. Bar, Dragon Con. They're all alcoholics.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah, but they drink a lot. So that's what you just find stuff they want and convince them to be charitable. I've turned a lot of people into more charitable than they expected individuals. They get one thing, and then they get another, and all of a sudden they're convincing their friends to get things, and then they're donating money to us without needing things in return because they felt we've given enough to them in exchange for their money, and now they want to give back to us. And that's what I've learned. It's really just, have faith in your fandoms. These fandoms want what you're selling. They want what you're producing because they miss this stuff so bad. They want to remember it. A lot of people live in these shows. This is the world they'd rather be in. Firefly's awesome. You get to wear, crazy coats and shoot people. It's this crazy space western. It's my generation's really small-scaled Star Wars, really small-scaled, because, it's our space western. Yeah, so just find what they want, give it to them, and make them, pay you money for it. I think we have 2 seconds left, if anyone. We have 1 minute left. We'll be really quick.
I have a quick question. I'm from Austin as well. I'm studying in San Marcos at Texas State University and Graduate School for Communication Design. So I had to focus on my thesis last semester, which is like realistically like a year and a half away. And I've always wanted to found a nonprofit in memory of my mom who died of breast cancer.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And just to give back, and I have like this business niche of like how I just taking people from rural communities into larger areas for treatment and partnering them with survivors and all the retirees and all these small towns. So I kind of had to put the cart in front of the horse, you know, and so I started a Facebook page because it was part of my what I needed to do. And now I have like 130, you know, followers.
It's awesome.
Been on there. And all I'm doing is sharing information, but I'd really like to do the, you know, to step forward to where I can actually start taking donations instead of, like, if I do a run, I've been taking donations and then I'll go and take them to, like, Susan G. Komen or something. But I'd rather them go to where I can give back in my local community more. Mm-hmm. So I know, like as far as a board of directors and board members and stuff like that, like just starting, like where should I go? Like what right. do I need to
the
do?
Most important thing, develop a mission statement, get your board of directors. You need a chairman, a vice chairman, and you can combine your treasurer and secretary. They can be one person. You need three people to help you. Then you need to get incorporated by the state that costs like $23. Then for an IRS tax exemption, you need to fill out a form 1023. That's $750.
$850.
Now it's $850. Hey girl, inflation. Okay, these are the things you need to do. That's bare minimum. You want a lawyer and an accountant to make sure you're filling out this paperwork correctly and that you're filing your taxes if you need to. If you project that you're going to make a certain amount of money, you need to pay the $850. If you project that you're going to make less, they tend to have a smaller amount that you can pay, like $400. But if you're going to make over like $40,000 in donations, you need to pay the $850. That's what you need to do. So mission statement, board of directors, three people, incorporate with the state, tax exemption with the IRS, bam. That's it. It's really that hard. It is. It's not easy. Okay. I think we've run out of time. So I want to thank the people that came out here. I think it's really important to take what you love and turn it into something that can help other people. I hope you learned something here. I hope we made you laugh like at least three times. It's our goal. Find us, Austin Brown Coats, at Facebook, austinbrowncoats.com, and at ATX Brown Coats
on Twitter,
because we love to find more people. And if you want to help us or do stuff or buy stuff, find us. We'll give you your prizes. So everyone that asked a question, come over here and we'll give you some prizes. But thank you again, everyone.